Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Acts chapter 17, verse number 11-12. And the Bible says this. It says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Someone say Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Verse number 12, as a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek and women, men and women. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you please minister, God, through me this morning? I ask that you would allow me to speak a word that would challenge us, God, to dive into your scriptures. Remind us that when all passes away, the one thing that will remain is your word. You will always be there. And your word that is spoken will come to pass. So, Father, we ask you once again, remove every distraction and allow us, oh God, to minister and allow us, God, to hear whatever it is you want to speak to us individually and collectively. Father, I thank you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Give it up for the worship team. Amen. Well, this morning I want to speak to you a very simple message, and a message that God really put on my heart. I want to speak to you about two specific things. Number one, I want to speak to you about the importance of God's word. And number two, I want to talk to you for a few moments about the power of God's word. Amen. You know, I've been doing some self-evaluating. Who's ever been there? Where you kind of start reevaluating where you are. Amen. And, this year I've had a few traumatic instruments that's truly shaped the way that I think and the way that I approach life. And one of the things that it took me back to the day I gave my life to the Lord. And I've really just been looking at my life and looking at what matters, number one. And number two, I was going back and looking at what really changed my life. And when I look back and I search at what truly transformed and changed my life, it was the power of God's word. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I think it's important that we know the truth of God's word. And I say the truth of God's word because we're living in a day and age of information, right? We have all sorts of information at our fingertips, and not everything we read on Wikipedia is true, amen? And I actually went on there yesterday, and I started looking up on Wikipedia, and I started realizing and reading about how people vandalize that site. But I say that to say that not everything that we read on the internet is true and or the Bible. How many know that every message that we listen to online is not necessarily the Word of God either, right? And this is not to come against any preachers or anything like that, but I think that we're living in the day and age where we got to know what we believe. Are you hearing me? The Bible even warns us about a day that is coming where people will abandon truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, this is what it says. Preach the word. Someone say the word. Not philosophy. Say it with me. Not philosophy. Not opinion. But the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when many people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The Bible clearly tells us that we, God's people, we, the church, are to preach, say it with me, the word. Not popular opinion. We're not here to preach fads, strategy, or the latest styles. But the Bible warns us that a day will come where people will turn away from sound doctrine or truth, and they will follow what their fleshly desires want them to chase after. And we're living in a day and age of true confusion. Who's ever been confused? Sometimes life will put you through some situations where you start questioning, what do I even believe anymore? Who's ever been there? Right? How many know that walking with God is not always easy? People are confused about what they are, who they are, and where they're going. But one of the things that we have to understand, church, is that we have a mandate. In 1 Timothy 3, 5, the church of the living God, the Bible tells us, we need to be the pillars and the foundation of truth. In other words, the church has a responsibility to uphold the banner of truth, listen to me, in all situations. And I say that because, man, when you look at the day that we live in, man, we're taught to respect everything and everybody, and I'm all for respect, but we can't, for the sake of being afraid of hurting people's feelings, stand or shy away from what the Bible tells us we should do. I'm not saying we got to be out there and preach gloom and doom, but what we do have to do, our lives need to model after what the Bible says. So today we're going to talk about the importance of knowing God's word for yourself. Someone say yourself. And the importance of not believing everything we hear. When we look at the scripture we opened up with, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul was traveling from city to city, and he was preaching Jesus the Christ. He was preaching the new king, a new message that a lot of people had never heard. And the Bible tells us that as they came to Thessalonica, the Bible tells us that there was a huge uproar because of the message that he was preaching. So as a result, the believers in Thessalonica, they grabbed the Apostle Paul and Silas, and they sent them to Berea to protect them from harm. Now, the Bible here introduces to us a specific group of people called the Bereans. Someone say Bereans. The Bible tells us that the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica. What that simply means is they weren't more noble in character because they read the Bible. What noble character actually means, they were people that were more prominent. They were people that were more educated, and they were people that examined everything that they learned. But the Bible tells us these people, they received the gospel message with readiness, and they examined. Someone say examined. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what the Apostle Paul was teaching was true. See, these people didn't just believe what he said. They went into the scriptures and examined it for themselves. You know, this word examine means to investigate, inquire, to scrutinize, and to sift. See, the Berean people, when you really look at who they were, you know what they represent? They represent a world of searching minds. And something you have to understand is the people of that day were heavily influenced by Greek culture and Greek philosophy. Greek culture promoted many gods, and they promoted evolving philosophy. In other words, each philosophy would build upon its own, and as a result, they would form different ideologies, traditions, and ways of thinking. But this is what's heavy about the Word of God. When you begin to study the Word of God, even these most prominent and most educated people, the Bible says that as they examine the scriptures for themselves, every day, they begin to believe in the gospel. See, Greek culture promoted, again, many gods and evolving philosophies. And doesn't that sound familiar? Because we're living in a day and age that promotes many gods. We're living in a day of ideology. We're living in a day where people are constantly evolving on their philosophies. And how many know that we have to know what we believe? So here you have the Berean people. They welcome Paul's message. However, they didn't just believe what Paul preached. They looked it up for themselves. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you can't believe everything the preacher says. Now say back to them, you got to search it for yourself. You know what truly intrigued me with the Word of God and what truly changed my life? I remember being at a place where I wasn't sure where I was going in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. But I knew one thing when I came to the church. I was searching, man. I used to think, man, there has to be something more. There has to be more to life than this. But I remember being invited to church, and I remember coming to church, and I would hear messages that would do something to my spirit, battling depression within my life, and then going in and feeling this joy. But then I realized that sometimes I'd feel it within the church, and I'd go home, and then everything was back to depression. Everything was back to a normal life. And I'll never forget, I heard a preacher one time by the name of Chuck. I don't remember his last name, but his name was Chuck. And some of you know the story. He was preaching the gospel, and I'll never forget, as I was into what he was saying, he said, you know, I got to tell you something. He said, you can't believe everything that I say. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I smoked a lot of PCP in my days. Now, mind you, I'm new to church. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm coming and I'm finding hope in you, our family. And he caught my attention. And he says, you have to go back and you got to search the scriptures for yourself. And you need to learn the ability and the skill of checking someone else's work. Are you hearing me? See, part of our goal over the last year, we have stopped as a church and we have truly sought God, and we'd asked God, God, what do you want to do for us? And I believe that God has given us here a specific mission statement for our church. And that's why we use the words reach, help, and spread. We want to reach the unchurched because it represents people that are not shepherded. And we got our philosophy and our idea there, one in prayer, but we looked at what Jesus happened. He had a heart of compassion towards people that were not shepherded. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God, and we want to spread the gospel. Now, the last two, helping people develop a relationship with God and spreading the gospel, requires knowing and teaching the word. Are you hearing me? I have a question for you this morning. How do you personally evaluate scriptures? How do you evaluate the sermons that you hear online? Do you have a process where you go back and you check the preacher's work, or are we just taking everything at face value? I'm not saying that we want you to be skeptical, but we want you to know, and any real preacher that truly lives by truth will not be offended if you go back and you check their work. You know why? Because they know that it's biblical. They know that you have the ability and the authority to tap into the Word of God and the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, the power of the Word of God, the power that can transform, has the ability to liven us and illuminate our mind to see things that we never seen before. In a time where some of the greatest lies sound like some of the greatest truths, we must be like the Bereans. We must learn to examine the scriptures for ourselves. Not just listening to somebody we like, but listening to people, evaluating the word, learning the word, applying it to our lives, and then reevaluating and preaching it again. Are you hearing me? See, something beautiful happens when we begin to examine the Holy Scriptures. And again, I've just been examining and looking at, like, what? How did I change? You know, it all started with the Word of God. See, the Bible speaks to the human soul in a way that has life-changing effects on individuals, listen to me, from all cultures, all nations, and all walks of life. The Bible, listen to me, is the one book that has lasted the test of time and has fulfilled thousands of prophecies that point back to the existence of God. This isn't just another book. Are you hearing me? This is the book of life. So there are some things that I want to share with you that you have to know about the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God is living and it is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the spirit, joints and marrows, and its discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. See, the Word of God is not just a collection of words or ideas. The Word of God is living and it is active. The Word of God is powerful. When I say it is all powerful, it truly has the ability to overcome anything in this life. See, God's Word reveals to us who we really are and who he is. It reveals to us who we are and who we are not. See, prior to walking with God, like I mentioned, I had become hateful, hurt, and hardened. You know, I forgot about those things. It's been so many years, I truly sat back and I started to remember. Man, I remember when I came to the Lord, I was hateful, I was hurt, and I was a hardened person. But I realized the more that I read the Bible, the more the Word of God began to challenge my thoughts, and it began to heal my hurt heart, and it started to change the hardened heart into a heart of flesh. See, I love how it reads in the New Living Translation. It says this in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." See, the word of God penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life, and it has a way of sifting through our innermost thoughts. And this is why sometimes there's an uneasy feeling when the Word of God is being preached. Have you ever been there? Where you're hearing the Word of God and something doesn't sit well, or there's things inside. And what's happening is your spirit is awakened to truth when the true Word of God is preached. So when biblical principles are preached, in spite of who's preaching it, sometimes it will challenge your spirit man. Your spirit man was created to identify with the Creator, and therefore you will know truth and know right from wrong. But what you have to understand is that the Word of God is the foundation of all truth. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away. But the first thing you have to understand is the Word of God is all powerful. Someone say it's all powerful. The second thing you have to understand about the Word of God is the Word of God equips us for life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely and thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, the Bible is not just a collection of stories. The Bible was given by inspiration of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit inspired many different men who wrote the book of the Bible, and it was inspired by God. Now, here's some interesting facts about the Word of God. One of the most fascinating things to me as I study the Word is the unity of God's Word. And let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible was written over a period of roughly 2,000 years ago by 40 different authors. Just follow me for a second because this is fascinating. The Bible was written by over 40 different authors. These authors included shepherds, kings, scholars, fishermen, prophets, military generals, peasants, and priests. They all had different purposes for writing, whether they recorded history, gave spiritual or moral instruction, or pronounced judgment. But these authors, they composed their work in different places. For example, some of them wrote in palaces, prisons, the wilderness, and the places of exile, and writing history, law, poetry, prophecy, and proverbs. And in the process, watch this, they shared their personal emotions. They expressed anger, frustration, love, and joy. And watch this, despite this array of topics, goals, and in spite of the Bible being written from people from all walks of life, there has been no error found within the Bible. People have literally tried to dedicate their lives to find an heir within the Bible, but instead of finding an heir, they found the living God. They found the living Word. They found something worth living for. This is why we got to preach the Word. This is why we got to know the Word. This is why we got to get it inside of us, and we need to develop a devotional life, and no matter what happens, we can't let the truth out of our sight. Are you hearing me? I read a scripture yesterday that rocked my world. You ever read one of those and you just read it and it hits you? Proverbs 23:23 says this: "Buy truth and don't sell it." Another translation says, "Get the truth and don't sell it." In other words, you gotta buy truth. You gotta find truth. And once you find it, don't give it up for anything. Not hurt, not pain, not struggle. You hold on to that truth Because at the end of the day, it's the truth that will set us free. It's the knowledge and understanding and the living out of truth that will give us freedom and allow us to walk in God's power. But the Word of God equips us for life. See, the Bible's not just another book. The Bible is infallible, meaning that there's no error there. But the Bible was meant to give us instruction for life. And we know this because it says that the Word of God is profitable for truth, correction, and training for righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Now, the word equipped means this. It means to furnish or provide whatever is needed. It means to supply with all that's necessary in order to accomplish a specific purpose. See, the Word of God will give you instruction for what you're supposed to do with your life. If there's one thing that remains true with all of us, is that we all got purpose. Now, that purpose will look different, but nonetheless, God, when he created you with intent. And God will give you everything that you need for life. Someone say life. He will teach you how to be. If you don't know how to be a father, he'll teach you how to be a father. If you don't know how to read, like myself, some of you know, some of you don't know, when I came to the church, I could barely read. I couldn't pass the reading or writing proficiency test within the state of California. And if you didn't pass, you didn't graduate. So therefore, since I didn't pass, I got kicked out of school. Then I went to the continuation school where they basically give you a pass just for showing up. So here I am. I'm 20 years old. I could barely read. People ask me to read. I was the guy that would say something crazy to the teacher so that I'd get kicked out. But then I started coming to this church. I started hearing messages like this, and men encouraged me to read the word. I had a pastor and a leader say, I'll come to your house and I'll read the word with you. All you got to do is have coffee in the morning. I said, okay, man, I want to learn. So he said, will you be up at 5 in the morning? I said, man, that's a little too early. But I remember him coming over, and I remember reading the Bible with him, and I remember being embarrassed. I remember looking at the scriptures, and I would read real slow, and I'd trip over my words, but I'll never forget when nobody was around. Something happened inside. Words that I could never read before started to come to life. What I couldn't do before, I not only understood, but God would give me illumination. Little did I know that my struggle would become my strength. Little did I know that what I couldn't do, the word would do through me. See, I look back and I'm grateful. Not only for how far God's brought me, but this word has sustained us. Many of you, the word has sustained you in tough times. And I've just learned that when you cling to the word of God, God will teach you everything you need to know. He'll give you all the skills that you need. I don't care if you're not educated. God can give you the role. Look, I was fascinated when Brother Red was giving his testimony. Here you have a man. What did you say? You were into 22 different county jails. By the age of 20, you were already locked up 12 years of his life. And here he is, this man that gives his life to God. Now he's partial owner of a company. Now God is doing a work within his life. God is using him. And you would never know, but what happened? He began to study the word for himself. He didn't depend on a preacher. He looked at it because he knew God was real. And the evidence is seen within his life. And what people need in this life is not some fancy message. They don't need some fancy words. What they need is the living word living through you. They need to be able to look at the light that shines within you. You may not have all the skills and gifting, but you don't worry about that. You have the living word that will give you all that you need to be successful. Looking back, I live to preach the gospel. I live to tell the truth because I know it works. I know it works. When I look around this room, I can see miracles. And I believe that God is stirring things up. And I believe that God is going to use your life to make an impact, not only within your family, but everyone you come in contact with. Listen, the great revival has yet to come. God is going to pour out His Spirit, because when I look at the world, I'm like, man, how worse can it really get? And before revival can break out, something must first die. And I would dare to say that, man, faith in America is almost dead. And not just here, but there are other places within the world that people have lost all consciousness. They don't even think about God. But God will not be mocked. The Word of God will go forth. And in due season, He will pour out His Spirit. And I want to be in those last days. I want to be at my post. I want to do what God has called me to do. Not in performance, but we perform for the audience of one. See, when we worship, we're not worshiping you. We're not worshiping the crowd. We're worshiping the living God. Whether two or three or five show up, we will show up and we will worship the living God, because nothing else has changed. He's still on the throne. He's still coming back. He still conquered death, and He is able to make me alive and well and do what He has called me to do. Listen, we have purpose, and that purpose is to let our little light shine for Jesus, right? Wednesday, we started singing that, man, those old school songs. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Come on, sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. See, my light is no longer for the masses. My light is for Him. My light is for my children. Because rest assured, I might burn up here, but how about when I go home? Come on, somebody. Huh? When we lose it in front of our kids, right? We gotta let our light shine everywhere we go. And that light should bring the glory to dark places. See, the purpose why the Word of God is here is to reveal to us who He is, and it gives us revelation, and it gives us purpose, and it gives us training and instruction for life. See, the Word of God will equip you for every good work. Whatever God has for you, He will equip you for good work. That means you're called to be successful in everything that you do. Thirdly, the Word of God builds faith. Someone say faith. Romans 10:17 says this: so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God produces faith within our lives when we hear the Word. And this is why we gotta preach. Say it with me, we gotta preach the Word. A good sermon's not gonna change somebody. A strategy is not going to change or transform anybody. It is the Word of God that brings faith. There is nothing we can do to obtain it. Faith is a gift from God. Did you know that? Faith comes each time the Word goes forth. And where did the Word originate? With Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Jesus. Everything in the Bible, did you know all 66 books, they point back to the evidence of what Jesus would do on the cross. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. See, God gives faith to people through hearing the Word of God. Faith can come in form of hearing a message at a church. Faith can come by reading your Bible there at your job, at your house. Faith is birthed anytime the Word of God goes forth. Faith is the message that we must preach and one we must live out. And listen, if you desire to grow in your faith, I didn't learn this till later in my Christianity, but you know that if you struggle with faith, you can simply ask God to give you faith. I used to think faith was all by works, because we read that scripture, right? Show me deeds, show me works, right? Right? A faith without works is dead. Well, I was like, man, I can't even do nothing. I'm already tore up. I'm not going to do anything, so I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to rot. But then I begin to realize, wait a minute. I can't do anything to really grow my faith. What I can do is put myself in position to hear the Word. And the Word is freely given. The Word hung on the cross, resurrected dead, and was raised back to life. And as a result, I have something to look forward to when I go to heaven. But if you are struggling in your faith, don't think you have to do works to uplift your faith or to gain faith. Because in Luke 17, 5, watch this. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What would happen if we begin to pray a prayer like that? God, would you increase my faith? Right? Because I'm just like anyone else who's ever doubted, who's ever struggled, right? And then we begin to think we're all messed up. No, we're just humans. But we can look to God, and like the apostles, we can say, God, increase our faith. You know that when you're doubting, you can ask God to help you with your unbelief? Mark 9:24 says, there was a man who his daughter was healed, and he said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And this is important to understand because the Bible does tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if it's impossible to please God without faith, then I think we should make it our priorities to position ourselves in a place where we can receive faith freely. Are you hearing me? Hebrews 12:2 says this, look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. See, it's the Word of God that will give you confirmation. It's the Word of God that will guide your life. It's the Word of God that will give you revelation. And it's the Word of God that will uplift you when you are in struggle. Someone say the Word. And lastly, God's Word does not come back void and will accomplish all that it set out to do. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse number 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, words go out all the time, and God's word is still having to be fulfilled, and God wants to do it through us. But just know this, that whenever the word is spoken, and if God gives you a word, you got to hold on to that word. Because revelation is still alive. God will still show himself to through his word. When God gives you a word, you got to hold on to it. Someone say, hold on to it. God's word will never contradict itself. In Habakkuk 2:3, I repeat this to myself continually. Whenever I start doubting, it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and it will not delay. And I know that sometimes, like, God ministers to us and we're waiting for the fulfillment of whatever it is he's revealed to our minds. But what we have to do is we got to be faithful, for he is faithful. We got to be holy, for he is holy. And like the Bible tells us in Proverbs 20 through 23, we got to buy into truth and not sell it. See, the message that I had is quite simple. Church, we're living in a day and age where we need to know the word. Brother Artie, you can make your way on up. There's no great depth to it. The truth is this, that if the word is not preached every day, if we don't preach the word every day and use words when we have to, we'll be less effective. I think we have to preach the word all day long and use words if we have to. We got to get truth. The Bible also says get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. And when we find these things, we have to hold on to them. Because nothing in all the world is more important or more valuable than God's word. We, the church, must live, stand, and fight for truth. I would dare to say we have to lay our lives down for truth. Now, this concept is like far from people today, but man, I've been studying church history, and I end with this thought. Again, Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, if you read about history, you'd find that history is filled with accounts of people who chose to accept torture or death rather than deny God's word. For example, if you study how all the apostles died for the exception of one, they all died a martyr's death. Why? Because truth was something they were willing to lay their lives down for. What's amazing is that commitment to truth was passed on to the generation right after them, to some of the church fathers. Because there were men, for example, that were named Ignatius and Polycarp. It was documented in history, these two men, they died torturous deaths. Why? Because they chose to stand for the word of God. See, Ignatius was a leader who ministered like the apostles, and history documents it. He was wanted by the authorities, so you know what he did? He didn't run like a fugitive. He turned himself in, knowing that his life would be demanded from him. History goes on to tell us that he was personally interrogated by the Emperor Trajan, who demanded he sacrifice idols to prove his loyalty to Rome. He refused to deny his faith. So you know what happened? He was thrown into a stadium and lit on fire. You had a man like Polycarp. This man was brought before a bloodthirsty mob and ordered to curse God. Listen to what he said. And I read this morning, man, and it touched my heart. It was documented that when they asked him to deny and curse his God, he said, 86 years I've served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King who saved me? Truth was something that they lived for. It was something they were willing to die for. The Word came to us in human form. That's what the Bible talks about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. You know that song we sing, What a Beautiful Name? What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. If you listen to the first part of the song, he says, you were the Word at the beginning, one with God Most High. Your hidden glory from all creation. Prior to Jesus, the hidden glory of God was hidden from people. But when Jesus came from heaven to earth, the glory of God was revealed. And you and I not only were able to partake in His goodness, but we have the living Word today to live by, to preach, to touch people, and to love. Church, this world needs us. I will never stop preaching that. People need us. They need the Word. Not a strategy. Not ideology. And not philosophy. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would please stand with me.